My name is Frank Weltner, and I am the librarian of GeeWatch, and I am here to welcome you to the world today. I would like to thank you for joining me here at the world today once again. I'm always flattered when you come to listen to this radio program in which we discuss the exciting world of today and the hidden events which are plaguing our people with neocon or Judeocon involvements in the highest levels of our governments. We are cursed by having people living within our shores who are Trojan horses placed here to saddle our governments and our treasuries with unneeded debts, with militarist adventures, with goals that are not those of our own country or our own people, but goals of another people, an alien people, who live here and pretend that they are one with us. But as a matter of fact, they are dual citizens of an alien terror state known today as the State of Israel. And before that, they were aliens of the terror state of the Soviet Union, which they ran with an iron fist, and where they killed our people with abandon. 65 million of our people were murdered there by the communist Jewish commissar system, in which hundreds of Jews bureaucratically lined up our people and slaughtered them in Byelorussia, in Estonia, in the Ukraine, and wherever their iron fist extended their power. They had to continue killing us in the Soviet Union because the Jews themselves who ran that particular empire were so few in number that whenever one of us raised our head where they could see it, they lopped it off. Because if we had been allowed to get together and to organize, we would have easily unseated them. So terror became a way of life for these Jews, including Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, and all of their underlings. I can assure you that as bad as things are here in America today, as bad as the exploitation is of the Zionists who are controlling our government and our banks, it would be 100 times worse for us if we lived in the Jewish Soviet Union, where the Judeo-Bolsheviks held reign in a massive terror net that extended for 40 years, 40 years of slaughter, in which night after night, your relatives and mine were dragged from their apartments, taken to the edge of town, told to kneel down, and were killed with a bullet to the back of their head. I believe that if the Zionists today, in America and in Europe, are able to gain the same amount of power that they had in the Soviet Union, and by that I mean total power, total corruption, total control over everything, so that when anyone else raised their head, the ugly menace of the police state, with all of its militarism, with all of its terror, would descend upon that poor, dreadful soul who happened to think that he might have a little bit of freedom in a country that was run by Jews, when in fact we know that he did not. And he will not in this country either. Today the Jews are very, very busy trying to pass hate legislation. Hate legislation is the beginning of the end of freedom of speech and of our very legal system itself. There is no legality that cannot be overturned when there is no freedom of speech. And the so-called hate crimes law are really the most hateful things that can ever happen to a country. Because a hate crime law is basically a gag that is placed over everyone. It begins with protection of certain limited groups, such as Jews, blacks, Hispanics, and others. The one group that is not protected, of course, is the majority group, because that is the group that is being persecuted by the hate crime law itself. As a matter of fact, democracies are supposed to be run by majorities. But under the Jewish scheme of things, democracies mean that the minority rules, and that the majority is told to sit in the corner and lick its wrist and be quiet, because the minorities will be those who are telling them what to do. And it is the minorities who will be killing them if they are out of line. The rationale for this is that the majority is so large that, of course, the government itself, being a minority government, will have to kill you in order to keep you quiet. It is as though the minority government says to the majority, because you are so overwhelmingly large, and because we have true control over this government and legal control, we will express our legality by oppressing you, by keeping you down. Otherwise, you are a threat to our national security. Only a majority government with a small number of minorities is secure in any nation in this world. This is why nations have borders, because those borders are there to keep minorities from ever entering their realm. In the Jewish state of affairs, which we have in America, everything is turned upside down. The majority bends its back, in fact turns its back, while minorities walk across their borders, sail into their cities on swift jets, land and never leave. Meanwhile, the minorities begin to politic in the state governments and in the central federal government for more and more immigrants, while the majority is supposed to look the other way and to kowtow to everything that the minorities suggest. Legislation begins to serve the Jew, the Negro, the Mexican, the Asian, everyone but the majority American. And any reference to the majority American is considered to be anti-Semitic or anti-black or anti-Hispanic. The majority is constantly defamed with insensitive words like bigot, racist, neo-Nazi, trailer trash, and Ku Klux Klan member. If the same epithets were tossed at Jews, for instance, if the whites were to call the Jews hook-nosed left-wing communists or left-wing radical Jews, they would be called insensitive bigots. But it's all right for a Jew to have Christian watch areas in their ADL internet hate press. It is okay for the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center to regularly publish investigative reports and intelligence reports on individual citizens within the United States, and to use words such as hateful, neo-Nazi, clannish. That's all right, because if you're a Jew, you can say whatever you want, and very few people will ever do anything to criticize you. Please do not be alarmed at the sound of my voice or at what I have to say. It would be even more alarming if I were not saying these things to you, if I were not educating you as to what is going on in your life, which is meant to destroy your nation, your family, your people, your religion, your culture, and to deny you of your rightful destiny. A majority that refuses to rule in its country as a majority is a majority that will soon be a minority, and a minority that will virtually disappear. We have seen these things occur in the ancient empires of Greece and Rome and of Egypt. Once immigrants were allowed within those nations, they began to reproduce, and to reproduce more rapidly than the original population. A part of this reproduction probably is out of fear, because if you move into a foreign nation and you are surrounded by people who have alien cultures and religions, you become fearful and you begin to reproduce naturally in order to protect your people and to make sure that they survive. But the majority, being placated by its own massive nature, feels secure and does not feel the need, therefore, to overly reproduce and to rapidly build up larger and larger numbers for protection. In fact, the silly majority that has allowed these Trojan horses to enter their empire watch with a certain amusement as the newcomers begin to have large families, which for the majority is somewhat good because it allows them to be exploited more rapidly, because more and more children mean more and more workers who will work for less and less and less. And thus the vicious cycle of the destruction of society begins and continues on and on and on, so that in a few generations the original majority is inundated by millions and millions of foreigners, who then, being racist, vote against the tolerant majority and vote their own members into Congress and, if possible, into the presidency. They find through the corruption of the government that they're able to get more and more of their people into the courts and even into the Supreme Court, where today two Jews reside side by side with seven Gentiles. The majority represents 98% of the nation, and the Jews represent only 2%. But because of minority rule in the United States, whereby the Zionists are able to control the presidencies of both the Democratic and the Republican parties, These two Jews in the Supreme Court, despite the fact that they represent only 2% of the United States, now occupy 22.5% of the Supreme Court seats. And of course, people are clamoring now for a Hispanic along with a black. Now, when you consider that Hispanics, blacks, and Jews represent only about 20% of the United States of America, maybe 25% at most, and many of them are half white, half Christian, and then you begin to see that if you have that many people in the Supreme Court, or 45% of the Supreme Court as minorities, then the other 80% are way, way underrepresented. And their will is destroyed more and more by that of the minority. And with one more minority person positioned on the court, the majority is suddenly a minority. And then the decisions against the majority become more and more deadly to their cause. You Americans are so complacent, you feel that you will forever rule in this country. That unlike the Indians, who were also complacent and allowed Europeans to live side by side with them until they were wiped out by the overwhelming military and intellectual power of the white man, so that they were eventually sequestered in small reservations, you believe in your ignorance and in your haughtiness that you will not suffer the same fate. But believe me, this is the fate that is historically accorded all of the liberals who allow other people to come within their nations. I am sure that the Emperor of Mexico felt when he saw 7 or 8 Spaniards on horseback that he could easily defeat them, but it turned out that he could not. If he had stopped them on the shores, he might have had a chance. But instead, he made the mistake of trying to capture them, but he was surprised himself, and he was captured. And then his empire immediately fell apart because once decapitated, these people had no idea of how to govern themselves without their king. So the Spaniards were able to move throughout North and South America and the Caribbean, killing and destroying. And of course, the diseases of the Europeans helped them, because everywhere they went, they carried 7 or 8 diseases which were fatal, at least in combination to the natives on the continent who had never been exposed even to the common cold, so that a single kiss from a Spaniard would spell the death of the girl that he kissed within a day or a day and a half, through fever, through dehydration, and through convulsions caused by the bacteria and the viruses to which he had just been exposed. When you consider that a kiss with a foreigner can kill, then you realize how delicate is the nature of survival for a majority, because the Indians of America were the vast majority and the Spaniards were only a minuscule speck within the huge universe of North and South America. Yet within 15 to 30 years after the Spaniards entered this kingdom of North and South America and the Caribbean, the population of the natives here dwindled from 30 million down to 500,000, mostly through disease, so that the Spaniards really didn't even have to lift a finger. They simply were able to come in, take over, and steal everything that the indigenous people had within these countries. We are making the same mistake that the Aztecs, the Incans, the Sioux, the Iroquois, the Mohicans, the Cherokee made when they tolerated the incursion of the white man into their territories. They felt at first, well, we can trade with these people and it will be good for us. They have steel knives, they have guns, they have gunpowder. They have things that we can use. They have traps for bear, traps for rabbits, traps for everything. They have beautiful clothes. They have clothes that are sewn. They have rugs. They have beads. They have things that we would like to have. But the one thing that they did not have was an appreciation for the native culture, a liberalness that would allow them to live side by side with the natives. If the Europeans had wanted to come to America to live with the natives and to be friendly with them, they would immediately, upon stepping ashore, have gotten rid of their European clothes, donned the native loincloth, and moved into Mohican and Cherokee territories, learned their language, thrown away their Bibles and their writing tools, and become totally nativized. But instead, they remained Europeans, and they used their Europeanness to separate the Indians and to slaughter them. This is similar to what the Jews are doing in the United States of America. They are a member of a large international tribe, which exists in many nations, not just one. And their loyalty is first of all to their tribe, to other Jews, whether they live in France or Spain or China or Israel or in America. And they think of themselves first. The same way that Samuel Goldwyn and Harry Warner of Warner Brothers would always hire Jewish people for their actors, for their writers, for their producers, for their directors. In the same way that the Jews always hire their own, the Europeans only hired their own when they came to America, pushing the Indian further and further west. They wanted nothing whatsoever to do with these people. In fact, the Cherokee, who spoke English very rapidly, who converted to Christianity and lived side by side with the Southerners, nonetheless were moved out of the Carolinas all the way to Oklahoma because the Southerners did not want to live with the Indian races within their territories. They wanted it for Europeans only. And of course the Jews want the White House and the Congress as much as possible for Jews only. They want the banks for Jews only. They want Hollywood for Jews only. They want the news companies for Jews only. They want to determine everything that you see, hear, feel, and think. They want to own the cereal boxes that you purchase at the grocery store. They want to own the trucking companies. And they've been very, very successful in making these things happen and in isolating you, the white Gentile American, from the glass room above within the corporations, where you as tiny workers slave like groundlings in the factories and in the sales rooms, while Jews up above glean the money from you and walk off to their banks and to their homes, laced with money while you are laced with bills for house loans, taxes, gasoline, and all of the commodities that you buy increase in price because the Jews on the top want to make more and more money from your labor and from your purchasing. If you believe that what I'm saying is racist or anti-Semitic, then you really haven't looked at what's been going on in Israel recently. Over the past 150 years, the Jews, having moved to Israel, have purchased almost all of the property and have passed laws whereby the native population of Palestine, which they now occupy, can no longer own property within the Jewish sections of that particular territory. So in other words, if you were a Palestinian and you had lived in Jerusalem for the last 500 years, you could no longer purchase your own family's property. Once that property would be sold to a Jewish person, it could never again be sold to a Palestinian. It only works one way. The Jews own everything. The Palestinians have nothing. The same way with America. How many of you own your home? How many of you own your automobile? How many of you own your farm? How many of you own anything? And I don't mean that you live in a house that is owned by a bank where you're paying a banknote. You do not own that house if you're paying a banknote. And even if you pay your house off, your city or your county will tax you for that land and that house so that you will always pay rent on your own property. Now, I can see doing that in a city where the city fathers have to maintain the streets, the sewers, the electric lines, the police, and they provide services for you, such as education. I can see where you would have to pay those taxes. But in a county where you have a farm, why would you have to pay taxes on your farm? The power to tax is the power to confiscate. And so the farm itself is simply a title to a property which resides in the county office or in the city assessor's office. And that means that you do not own the property, but it is considered the property of the community and the community at large. The world that we live in is so bizarre. I had the displeasure of calling the Justice Department just a few weeks ago, after my scholarly website had been threatened and intimidated by Jews who did not particularly like what they saw there. And so they intimidated my internet service provider who hosted my website on their servers. People who are in the business of renting space and renting bandwidth. Now, the Jews did not like the fact that I had my little press on the internet and I was enjoying my freedom of speech. They didn't like the freedom of speech that I had. They didn't like what I was saying. They didn't like people to know that they had run the Soviet Union and had murdered 65 million people. That did not suit them at all, even though the articles that resided there were written by Jewish people themselves, in the major newspapers and even in the Encyclopedia Britannica. That didn't faze them at all. What they wanted was complete control of everything that the people in America hear and see and think. And I was a threat to that. I was a threat to the Jewish national security. The Jewish national ego needed to shut me down. So they succeeded in intimidating several service providers, and so I called the Justice Department's criminal division. The criminal division is supposed to investigate and to prosecute people who threaten the civil rights of others within this country. What I discovered was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. Now, I've always thought that the government was a piece of crap. That has always been my assumption. The government of the Soviet Union was a piece of crap. The government of Rome was a piece of crap. The government of ancient Israel and ancient Greece were pieces of crap. They were subject to corruption. They were frauds. They simply existed to squander tax revenue, to cause wars, and to simply enjoy themselves using the money of the people. Now, I like to consider that I have a very, very good sense of humor. I really do. I've seen just about everything in the many years that I've been alive. And I have a certain amount of wisdom about things. So it came as no shock to me that the Justice Department really wasn't interested in my case. But what I heard was hilarious. Well, it would have been hilarious if it wasn't so insulting. I pointed out that they were operating under Title 18, Section 241 of the Civil Rights Law that said if anyone threatened, harassed, or intimidated any person in the United States because he was enjoying his civil rights as guaranteed by the Constitution or by the laws of Congress, that that person would be fined and imprisoned for not more than 10 years. I considered that my civil rights to freedom of press and freedom of speech had been intimidated and threatened by people, and that therefore the Justice Department would come to my aid. Well, I talked to a young lady there who I assume was a lawyer, and I told her what had happened. And she said, well, I don't think we're going to be interested in that. I said, well, why is that? She says, well, I don't think there's any law that's been violated here. So I repeated what I just told you about Title 18, Section 241 of the Civil Rights Act. And she said, well, your civil rights really haven't been infringed. I said, well, what about my freedom of speech and freedom of press? It's guaranteed in the Constitution. The Justice Department representative informed me that I had misread the Constitution, that I didn't understand the law. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, the law doesn't guarantee you freedom of speech or freedom of press. Read it again. I said, well, I've read it. She says, well, all it does is guarantee that Congress is prohibited from making any laws that destroy freedom of press or freedom of speech. She said, but anybody else can prohibit your freedom of speech or freedom of press. I said, well, that's very interesting. What about Title 18, Section 241, that if anyone intimidates or threatens someone because they are enjoying any of their civil rights guaranteed by the Constitution? She said, well, you weren't enjoying any of your civil rights guaranteed by the Constitution because the Constitution does not guarantee you any freedom of press. It only guarantees you that Congress shall not pass any law prohibiting freedom of speech or freedom of press. But if a private company wants to do that, well, they're more powerful, I guess, than Congress. This was the implication that she gave me. So I want to tell all of you Americans out there that if you think you have any freedoms, and if you think that your government is your friend, then you're barking up the wrong tree. You have no freedom of press. You have no freedom of speech. I got that directly from the Criminal Division of the Department of Justice, that there is no guaranteed freedom of press. There is no guaranteed freedom of speech. There is no guaranteed freedom of religion. There's no guarantee of anything. There's only a guarantee that Congress will not pass any laws that have anything to do with this. Which I find very interesting, because I have read of people who have been sent to prison for intimidating Jewish people who were going about their business of trying to go to a synagogue peaceably, and they found themselves in prison. Now, the Constitution doesn't guarantee anybody really freedom of religion. It only says that the Congress shall not pass any law prohibiting religion, nor will it establish a religion. Well, that doesn't mean anything in terms of what a private person does. So that if a private person were to harass, let's say, a synagogue and say, well, you can't get any natural gas or any electricity from the city because we don't like what you do there, which in my opinion would be wrong, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that according to the Department of Justice. But I know for a fact that if it were freedom of religion, especially Jewish religion, they would be out there going to bat for the religious people. But when it comes to myself with my website, they have the audacity to tell me that in the same First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, what applies to religion doesn't apply to freedom of speech or freedom of the press. You see, this is the sickness of our corrupted government. This is the sickness of the pro-Zionist America in which we live, in which people aren't interested in the rights of the majority, only in the rights of the minority. Now, if I had owned a website and I told Jewish people, well, I don't agree with your religion, so I can't put you up here because this is a Christian website, I would immediately be hauled before that same Department of Justice and told that I had violated these people's civil rights. If I had told them that I wasn't going to hire them because they're black, or they're yellow, or they're Irish even, I would be hauled before the court. But if I want to have my freedom of speech, which is guaranteed by the same Constitution, with the same wording, well, I would be out of luck. And the reason for this is that we're living in a Jewish Zionist state, the Israeli annex, the United States of America. I've heard someone refer to it, actually several people, as the Jew-United States of America. And I don't particularly like that particular phrase, the Jew-United States of America, because I don't think there's anything united about this country. How can a country be united when you have Zionists and neo-Bolsheviks hanging out in the White House who are neocons or Judeo-cons, meaning the new conservative, meaning the false Jewish lying conservative, the Trojan horse that is there to funnel money to Israel, which is their sacred cow, and to funnel it out of America, which is my sacred cow. Stealing from my cow for their cow. Taking from my golden calf for their golden calf, however you want to look at it. No, I don't see anything united about that. I see divisiveness. I see division. I see one group of people known as Jews who are an international tribe who are loyal to their own people and not loyal to any country. In fact, if you talk to them, they'll refer to America as a host nation, that they must, as parasites, be good to their host. They won't use the word parasite. They'll say as guests they should be good to their host. But they have no intention of staying here if things get bad for them. I would imagine, based on what's going on in China with all of the industry going there, that the Jews will be picking up and leaving soon. They'll go where the money is. If they're going to exploit Chinese versus Americans, well, they'll have to move over there. If the money moves over there, the physicians will pick up and leave so that they can have brainstem operations on the Chinese and the Indonesians. They're not going to stay here with Americans who don't have any factories left. No, they'll go where the money is. They'll go where the tribe goes. And the tribe is just as fickle as the middle class in America or in France or in England. As soon as the pickings are better somewhere else, the middle class always gets up and leaves. the pro-Zionist government of the United States, which does everything which its Jewish masters want it to do, was embarrassed recently, as it always is, by its friendship with Israel, when the United Nations told the United States that they didn't really like what was going on down at Guantanamo, which is known as Gitmo. The Secretary General Kofi Annan of the UN said that the United States needed to close Guantanamo Bay as soon as possible because it was a place that was torturing people and that this was inhumane and that it should not be done. So what happened? The White House spokesman, Scott McClellan, rejected this call to shut down the base at Guantanamo and said that these are dangerous terrorists that we're talking about, which of course is a clue that these people are being dehumanized. When you want to have your way with people, you lie about them. You dehumanize them. They don't want them to be tried in a court because a court might find them not guilty. Or in the court, it might be pointed out that these people truly were tortured and their testimony would be on paper so that everyone would be able to read it and see it. And then to possibly protest against this type of government hideousness and do something about it, something to end it. But the United Nations said in Geneva, in a report that was leaked, that the United States has to close the detention facilities without further delay. And they said it's because it is effectively a torture camp where prisoners have no access whatsoever to justice. The head of the UN, Annan, told reporters that he didn't necessarily agree with everything in the report, but he did support its opposition to people being held in perpetuity without being charged and prosecuted in a public court. Annan, the head of the UN, said this is something that is common under every legal system, that people have a right to be prosecuted in public court where they can defend themselves. He said, I think sooner or later there will be a need to close the Guantanamo camp, and I think it will be up to the government to decide and hopefully to do it as soon as possible. This 54-page report summarizes this investigation by the five UN experts who have accused the United States of practices that amount to torture and that has demanded that these detainees be allowed a fair trial or be freed. Well, we live in a dictatorship here, ladies and gentlemen. We live in the United States of America, which is an Israeli annex. And the reason these Arabs are under our care is that our Jewish supremacist masters, who are ensconced in the White House, who run both the Democratic and Republican parties with their rule of money, with their rule of the terror of their media, which they monopolize, and which they can ruin any politician with the snap of their finger. This terror, this Jewish terror, has made our government, not our government, but theirs. A government for a lousy 2% of the people. A lousy 2% of the people who are known murderers, not only in Israel, but in the Soviet Union, which they ruled with an iron rod, in which they enslaved our people, our European people, and killed them night after night after night. The UN said that the United States should allow a full and independent investigation at Guantanamo and also give the United Nations access to other detention centers around the world, including secret ones in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. So there you have it. Your government is a criminal government. And what are you going to do about it? I rather doubt that you will do anything other than sit and watch National League football and drink your beer and do what you've always done, which is to wait for some Jew to come to Petrograd, whatever Petrograd you live in, to pull you out of your house or your apartment and to shoot you in the back of the head. And if you don't think that's going to happen to you, you need to read Jew Watch and see what the Jews did to the Russians between 1919 and 1940. They killed them. They slaughtered them. 65 million people, and no one in America has known about it because they own the press. You don't see CBS News reporting on that. It's owned by Sumner Redstone, alias Murray Rothstein. Actually, Sumner Redstone is the alias. His real name is Murray Rothstein, and that's what his mother named him, and called him. "Murray, come home. My name is Mrs. Rothstein, and this is my little son, Murray, who now happens to own CBS and Viacom and is in the midst of a legal battle with his son and daughter over the ownership of that particular property. $8 billion in media, the biggest media monopoly that anyone knows about. And these are the people who have pushed rap music, where they talk about hoes and bitches and killing cops. And that's okay. That's okay. But my little website is not okay, is it? No. And if I criticize Murray Rothstein, then I'm a dirty name. I'm an anti-Semite. Well, I don't think I'm an anti-Semite or Semite or whatever you want to call it. And I don't really care what anybody calls me, because the truth is the truth, and I'm going to stick by the truth." I'd like to quote James Bamford, who's the author of A Pretext for War, about the Iraqi war. And he says that the operation of Guantanamo is likely to be there for a long time, because the war is going to go on for a long time. And he says these are the things that's creating the hatred and creating more terrorism around the world, by the fact that the United States is a nation of hypocrites. He says that the United States wants the world, these places we invade, to be democratic and have democratic institutes, yet after we capture their people, we won't do the same thing for them. We treat them, he says, as if Saddam Hussein had captured these people, put them away. We don't give them a trial, and we throw away the key, just like Saddam Hussein did. He accuses us of being two-faced, of being liars, of being hypocrites. And I think that he's absolutely right. And the UN investigators, by the way, have found even more evidence of torture at Abu Ghraib, which have been recently released, and more will be released as time goes on. And this torture went to the point of death. Some of the interrogation techniques, particularly the use of dogs, exposure to extreme killing temperatures, sleep deprivation, and prolonged isolation, caused extreme suffering, but that was just part of it. There were other tortures going on that actually resulted in the deaths of some of these prisoners. The United States has said that, well, we've punished these people now, and we need to move on. Well, there is no moving on when there's a murder. And sending people to jail for murder because they're a soldier, well, that doesn't seem right when people who are here, who were German prison guards, who did nothing but simply walk the perimeter, never shot anybody, they have to leave even though they're 80 or 90 years old, and leaving the United States will probably kill them. But that's the two-facedness of the pro-Zionist United States government, where it will kiss up under the Jewish controllers of this nation, the people who own practically everything, and who are so selfish that they want to run everybody's life, and they won't stop until they have total control and total power, which they nearly have. And then we have the great irony. The great irony of the cartoon episode in which Europe claims that it has freedom of speech. Of course, we don't have it here in America, as I just pointed out in this program, that we have no guarantee of freedom of speech or freedom of press here, according to our own Justice Department, which, of course, can be dismissed with a swipe of the hand as being irrelevant because it obviously is corrupted. And it is obviously un-American. It is obviously a traitor organization to the Constitution and to everybody American. Because if it really believes that, then it should be saying right now that there is no freedom of speech, that maybe these cartoons shouldn't have been printed in Denmark, but they were. And these were cartoons against the most sacred human being in the world to the Muslims, and that is Muhammad. Now, Iran's ambassador to Portugal, ironically, in this free speech European nation, Portugal, was speaking using his freedom of speech, at a Portuguese radio station. And he told the interviewer that it would have taken the Nazis 15 years to burn the corpses of 6 million people, a remark reflecting the denials of the Holocaust made by his own president in Iran. The ambassador's name is Mohamed Tahiri, and he said in an interview with Portuguese state radio, "When I was an ambassador in Warsaw, I visited Auschwitz and Birkenau twice and made my calculations. To incinerate 6 million people, 15 years would be necessary." Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has repeatedly denied that the Holocaust, the Nazis' killing of 6 million Jews during World War II, took place. Ahmadinejad has also called for Israel to be wiped off the map. More than 1.5 million people, mostly Jews, according to a newspaper article, died at Auschwitz-Birkenau, a death camp set up by Nazi Germany in occupied Poland. But I can assure you that the number of 1.5 million is questionable, because the Russian archives revealed that only 80,000 people were killed at Auschwitz-Birkenau. But they weren't killed, they simply died there of diseases, of old age, and of starvation. In fact, they were so humanistic there that the celebrated Anne Frank was able to walk away from Auschwitz when the Russians came there out of fear that they would kill her, and she chose to go with the Germans to Germany, where she died of typhus in another camp. She was not murdered at all. She died of typhus. And her father stayed at the camp in Auschwitz, in the hospital, in the infirmary, that was run by none other than Dr. Mengele. And even though he was sick, instead of being murdered and sent to a gas chamber, was placed in the infirmary where he was able to meet the Russians when they came there, and when he was finally healed of what was wrong with him, he was able to leave. So the Germans were very, very humane to him and to his daughter. And yet we read that 1.5 million people, mostly Jews, died at Auschwitz-Birkenau, a death camp set up by Nazi Germany. Well, if it was a death camp, how come Anne Frank got out of there? That's kind of a mystery to me. And why was her father being nursed in the infirmary? Why didn't they just kill him? I mean, he couldn't be used anymore as a laborer. And according to the story we've been told, anyone that couldn't work was killed. Well, what about her father? He wasn't killed. At any rate, Ambassador Tahiri said, "When our president wants to talk about the Holocaust with historians and scientists, the whole world is against him." The envoy said that historians need to get together to give their opinions. And he also said the publication by European newspapers of cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, outraging many Muslims and provoking widespread protests, was an Israeli conspiracy which was designed to cause conflict between Muslims and Christians. Mr. Tahiri said, "We think this is a conspiracy by Zionists who want to put Muslims against Christians in Europe." So there you have it. And Iran's best-selling newspaper, Ham Shahari, has responded to the Muslim outrage over published cartoons of the Prophet by organizing a competition for cartoons about the Holocaust, saying it is a test of the West's vaunted freedom of speech. But you see, there is no freedom of speech, and I got that from the Department of Justice of the United States of America, which is the sycophant of the Jewish conspiracy in Israel. And their operative here, of course, is none other than IPAC, the Israeli Political Action Committee, whose job it is to make sure that my money and your money goes not for ourselves, but for Jews in Israel. And we find that our own Secretary of State, shameless liar that she is, Condoleezza Rice, is now picking on the fledgling democracy of Palestine. And the reason that she's doing it is that Palestine didn't elect the right president. It elected Hamas and not Fatah. Now, it used to be that Israel didn't like Fatah. Fatah was run by Arafat. And then they made peace with Fatah, and the people knew that they had been rejected and sold out by a corrupt Fatah. So they voted for Hamas, which wants to cut the head off of Israel and to send them out into the ocean to languish and drown. Or, better yet, to pick up their stuff and leave and go back to Europe in airplanes and leave the Arabs alone. The Arabs, according to the president of Iran, have absolutely no responsibility to take care of the problems of Europe. And the president of Iran feels that the Jews are a European problem and they should not be an Arab problem. He says, you didn't like them. It was your Germany that decided that they were going to kill them, or at least so they say, and we want to have an investigation to see if that's really what happened. But you don't want the investigation because you don't believe in freedom of speech, but you believe in enough freedom of speech to humiliate the Prophet Muhammad, to anger Muslims. But when we want to investigate the Holocaust or make fun of it with cartoons the same way you did us and our Prophet, well, then you say that's going too far and we aren't going to allow it. And so what he's been able to do is to thread the needle perfectly and to take out the scissors and to cut the thread and the entire garment and say, look, the emperor is naked. You Europeans are hypocrites. You say, first of all, that you like democracy, but when Hamas wins, which is the democratic victor of the fledgling state of Palestine, and you don't like Hamas because it doesn't like Israel, and we don't like it either, then you decide that you are going to torture Palestine, and that your silly Secretary of State, who is a known liar, who talks about weapons of mass destruction, and says that your nation isn't torturing people, when in fact we all know that it is, and the UN says that it is, and everyone says that it is, and it's been investigated, we know that it is, and she's lying. Well, this Condoleezza Rice has come forward and said, we don't like Hamas, so we're taking our $50 million that we had promised to give to the Palestinian Authority, and we're taking it back. We're going to impoverish you people because you voted for the candidates that you wanted, and we don't like you. Well, it's not that Condoleezza doesn't like them. It's that her Jewish masters don't like Hamas. That's why she's taking the $50 million. Because she doesn't represent the United States of America. She represents the hegemony of Israel over her country. She is a traitor to the United States. She follows what her Jewish supremacist masters tell her to do. And if she didn't, the president would fire her in an instant. Because he is held in their hands like a cup of blood. The blood of Iraq, the blood of Afghanistan, the blood of Sarajevo, the blood of all of these adventures that the Zionists wanted us to perform for them. So that our boys would die and our girls would die in foreign lands for the Jewish hegemony, the Jewish empire around the world, which uses us as its army. And as soon as we're worn out and finished, well, they'll be using China as its army. And when they're worn out, then they'll use India as its army. They don't care what they use because they live in all of these countries. Because they're an international group of bandits who run the banks, who run the governments, who run the military, who deal in arms, who deal in slavery, including white slavery. And there are articles on Jew Watch about the white slavery of Israel. And there have been articles in major TV news run by Jews like 60 Minutes. In fact, there was a recent one about white slavery that took place in Turkey because they were a little too embarrassed to talk about the white slavery taking place in Israel. But Israel talks about it. If you read the Jerusalem Post, you'll read about it. And that's where we get most of our articles, is from Haaretz and the Jewish Post, because they talk about their problems. As though no one's reading or listening, but I'm reading and I'm listening and I'm watching. And I'm reporting what they're reporting. And after all, they're publishing it and under Freedom of Information, under the United States Copyright Law, Title 17, Section 107, we have free use for scholarship. And so the scholars come to Jew Watch and read about the white slavery. They don't pay for it, they just read it. And it's all legal and it's all under the copyright law. And no one ever complains because there's not much they can do because that's the law. If you read something for education, you can't be charged for it. You can't be charged for it. It's education. It's protected. That's fair use. So at any rate, all that information about the white slavery that's run by the Jews and has always been run by the Jews, and it was run by the Jews during the Roman times as well. In fact, there's even a list of the Jewish slave ships that brought the Africans over here from Africa. They were owned by Jews. The Jews were exclusively involved in the African Holocaust. So they should know all about Holocaust, because they are tremendous genocide artists. They committed genocide on the Europeans, they've committed genocide on the Africans. And when the Christians were being murdered by the Emperor of Japan, the Jews were right there telling them where the Christians were, go in this way, get them here, get them there, because they hate the Christians. And the ADL's hate for the Christians in the last few weeks has spawned a meeting in Florida of Jewish groups to decide what to do about the Christian problem. Yes, the Christian problem. Here they are living in a Christian nation, the United States of America, and the atheist ADL hate group, which of course hates everything American, including Christians, is meeting to decide what to do to shut down the Christians. They don't like the idea that the Christians are competing with IPAC, which is trying to get money for Israel, and the Christians are trying to get money for Christian schools. So it's okay to get money for the Jewish government of Israel, for the Jews, but to get money for Christian schools, for Christians, from the same government, why, that's wrong. We don't want you to do that. That might marginalize the Jews. In fact, it might be used to corrupt Jews to make them become Christian. Well, that'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? For the Jews to have to integrate the way they want whites to integrate with blacks and to accept all of their ways. For the Jews to integrate with the Christians and accept their ways, oh no, that would be evil and wrong and immoral. We wouldn't want that at all. We have to stop that immediately. Yes, ADL, I read all of your reports. And I got that from ADL.org. All these wonderful Christian hate things that you print up there because you are running an internet hate site, ADL.org. And all of your hate is easily on display for everybody. But you know, you never really mentioned too much about Leo Frank and how you started the ADL of B'nai B'rith in order to get that Jewish rapist off down there in Georgia, in Atlanta, or in Alabama, or wherever it was, where he raped that little teenage girl, Mary Fagan, in his pencil plant, and was sentenced to death, and you were able to bribe the governor of a state to get him pardoned, but the people down there who were Gentiles weren't going to have anything to do with your Jewish bribery, and they grabbed him and hanged him anyway. Well, of course, that's vigilante justice, isn't it? No, Mr. ADL, the vigilante justice was where you spent the money to corrupt the governor of a state to overturn the will of a jury of free people. That was the vigilante justice, the Jewish justice of corruption with money. And that's the vigilante justice we have in a Supreme Court where there's two Jews when there shouldn't be any, because you're only 2% of the people, and you deserve no representation on that court. And you have 10 senators out of 100, which is 10%, you need to have 8 of them resign, because the other 8 are vigilantes who have come with pitchforks and money to take more of the Senate than they deserve. And you need to get off of the Justice Department, and you need to get off of the Judicial Committee of the Senate, where you decide who's going to be the judges of this country, and you decide in a lot of those cases that it's going to be Jewish people, when in fact you're nothing but a minuscule 2% of this nation, and you shouldn't even be considered for any court case, because no Jew should sit in justice over a Christian. It just simply should not be done. That's taking tolerance too far, because you as Jews have totally been intolerant of Christians throughout your history. And the only reason you will ever tolerate a Christian is if the Christians have the upper hand and can squash you if you don't tolerate us. You are generally an intolerant, selfish, greedy people. You own the banks, you own the corporations, you own the unions. There isn't anything you don't want to put your fingers in. You own half of Harvard, and you still complain about the people who get into Harvard because of a legacy. But you never complain about the 50% of Harvard that's Jewish. You never complain about the more than 50% of Harvard that are Jewish professors and administrators, and how you use your administration to allow more and more Jews in because you're a bunch of racists. Oh no, you don't want to mention that. And how you do the same thing at Yale and at the other universities that you run, and that you intimidate with your legacies, saying, well, we want more blacks in here, we want more Jews in here, we want less whites is what you mean. We want less Europeans in here because we hate you. Because we are a hate group. We are a very vicious minority that hates the majority. That's what we are. But you don't want it printed, you don't want it uttered, you don't want it said, but it's what you do. I want to thank you very much for listening to The World Today. And I hope that the discussions of the Jewish supremacy over the United States of America, over the European Gentiles of this country, and the non-European Gentiles, that this hegemony, this ability to corrupt our government at all levels and in all of its agencies and bureaus, needs to be overthrown. You need to understand what they're doing because you need to overthrow them. You need to take the government away from them. You need to take the military away from them. You need to deny them the right to own the media because they have misused it to destroy your nation, to promote diversity when they should be promoting the majority. It is not in the interest of the majority to promote diversity. It is only in the interest of the minorities to promote diversity. And you should not have a minority doing that. The majority should promote majority interests, no diversity, none of that. This is a majority country, it should be for the majority. It's a democracy. And in a democracy, the majority rules, and the minority is left by the wayside. Because the minority is a minority, and it should act like a minority. If they want to be a majority, they should go to Israel, where they will be a majority, and they can have majority standards there. But to come here and to have a so-called inclusive government, well, by them saying inclusive, what they mean is that we are going to determine that you're going to go to war in the Middle East for Israel. That's not inclusive. That's divisive. That's hateful. And it is empirical. The Jews are an empire that stretch around the world, and they have made my country into its laughing stock. Every time the Jews do something bad, we veto what the United Nations wants to do. My country is sick. It is dying of the disease of Jewish pandering, of Zionist pandering, and it must come to an end. And you, my people, you must have the guts and the courage to bring it to an end. All you have to do is stand up and say no. That's all you have to do. And you have the ability as the majority to boycott everything Jewish, everything that has to do with diversity. If that's what it takes to get these people out of here, to deny them profits, you need to do it. You need to organize. You need to tell people about this radio program and about Jew Watch and about other internet sites where the truth is actually spoken and printed, and that are never going to shut down and are never going to allow the Jewish minority to tell us what to think and what to do. But we are going to have the guts to stand up and the courage to continue this fight until we take back our world. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I want to wish you a very nice evening. Until next time, this is Frank Weltner for The World Today.